at our prayer service tonight. Let's go ahead and take our hymn books, number 416. Each step I take, 416. Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with his loving hand he leads the way. And with each breath I whisper, I adore thee. Oh, what joy to walk with him each day. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take will lead me closer home. At times I feel my faith begin to turn and look up to my Savior. I am strong when he is by my side. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. I trust in God no matter come what may, for life eternal is in his hand. He holds the up the way that will lead me to the promised land. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be. Each step I take just leads me closer home. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you for the beauty of this song, Lord. Indeed, for the believer, every single step we take is a step closer to home. Wonderfully, in you, there are no backward steps that somehow we could make our life longer, or we could run from your presence in such a manner that we would never be with you as a believer. You promise that you're always with us. Thank you. Help us to be true to you. Help us to remember that the steps do go upward, and help us desire that path. Help us to walk what is straight and true and not be sidetracked by what the devil would try to offer us. Lord, what he offers is nothing and will only destroy. But in you there's life, and life more abundantly. We pray for your help tonight, Father, as we pray. Help us to have a mind that is praying in faith, trusting that you're going to do great things in our lives. Help us as we study your word. Help us to know more about you. Thank you for the teens. Thank you so much for the very capable leadership they are under tonight while I'm up here. May you bless them as they meet together. And thank you so much, Lord, for a great ending to the Kids Club program again this year and the work that you have done and you will do in those children. As they don't meet tonight for the first time, help them to think about what the year was like. And, Lord, stir in their hearts a desire either to come to know you as Savior or to walk with you faithfully. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to ask you to take your Bibles and go to Psalm 70, if you would, tonight, as our prayer is going to be throughout the night, and we have several guys lined up to pray, and they're going to be helping us pray what we're learning in Psalm 70. Psalm 70, it's one of the shorter psalms in the Bible, just five verses long, but a very powerful prayer of deliverance. Just a few notes on this psalm here. We're not exactly sure of the occasion for this psalm. It's interesting, there's a few psalms that are very similar to one another, and Psalm 70 is almost identical to the last four verses of Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verses 13 to 17, if you could almost read these two side by side. So it certainly looks like that the psalm, the David, who's the psalmist here, took part of this psalm, and either he himself or later on in history, they took this and made this a psalm unto its own. And it's interesting, sometimes you think to yourself, or I think to myself, now why would the Bible feel the need not only to be repetitious in a phrase, but repetitious in several phrases? And number one, whenever we read that, we think about that, we must recognize if God finds that important, he's going to repeat it. So must be that it's important to have this in Scripture. But with Psalm 70 as the tail end of Psalm 40, do you ever have a song that comes to your head when you think about maybe a word or phrase? About the greatness of God, does a hymn come to your head? How great thou art often comes to mind. And sometimes I think about, God, you're so great. And then I'm just how great you are. Then sings my soul. And off I go in my mind and I start singing the chorus of it. And sometimes I think we may remember the chorus as well of songs over the verses. And maybe in a way with Psalm 70, God put this in Scripture as kind of the chorus part of Psalm 40 that we would remember it well. Keeping in mind that the psalms, we read them, but they were set to songs. We don't have those songs today, the melodies, but they were set to songs. So just fascinating that the Lord chose to take this short psalm from another psalm. So let's read this together here. O God, hasten to deliver me. O God, hasten to my help. Let those be ashamed and humiliated who seek my life. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be turned back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am afflicted and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O God, do not delay. As you know, Don has been going through the book of Acts for several months now on Wednesday nights. And when I talked to him about what to do on Wednesday, I wanted to tie something in maybe a little bit on what he's doing in Acts. And most recently, he told me that you went through Acts chapter 23, talking about Paul's rescue once again, this time kind of a night rescue. Where in chapter 23, his nephew actually alerted the authorities that several men were set up, made a vow to kill Paul before he made it to trial. But again, the Lord rescued him. And just a couple verses from there that I pointed out I wanted to share tonight. There's a sense of faith and a sense of wisdom in these verses. In chapter 23, verse 11, I'll just read it to you here. It says, the following night the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. But then a few verses later, in 16 and 17, it says, so when Paul's sister's son heard of their ambush, he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions to him and said, take this young man to the commander, for he has something to tell him. Paul simultaneously recognized the promise of God that indeed he would go to Rome. But just a few verses later, there's another attempt on his life. Paul had to practice what David had to practice in his life. There's the recognition of faith. God, you are going to do what you said you would do, and I believe you. And at the same time, wisdom. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. What am I going to do? And David faced that many times in his life. Indeed, in chapter 70 of Psalms, we don't know exactly when this was written or what time he may have been thinking about for his deliverance. But how many times do we read in Scripture about how he was delivered? And that's the times we read about. He was a king. Any leader of a nation usually has a target on their back, and David was no exception. There had been a number of times that he had a target in his back. He believed in the promises of God. You will take care of me. I trust you. And at the same time, he understood that God gave him a sense of wisdom. What do you want me to do in the face of danger here? Could it be that Paul, brilliant man that he was, studied scholar that he was, thought of Psalm 70 that very night that you studied a week ago about his escape? Maybe that God brought that to his mind about that cry for help. I'm going to ask Lloyd to come and start us in prayer tonight. And amongst the other things that Lloyd would be praying, I'm going to ask him to ask God for us that we would have the power to experience faith and wisdom, not separate, but together in our lives. Thanks.
I want to frame the context of this prayer by reading just a few verses out of Isaiah 11. Then a shoot will spring up from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from the roots will bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And he will not judge by what his eyes see or make decision by what his ear hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Also, righteousness will be a belt on his loins, and faithfulness a belt about his waist. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our Savior, Jesus Christ. For we have been crucified with him. It is not us who live, but Christ lives in us. The life that we now live, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Lord, what a powerful plan of salvation. And both faith and wisdom come together. It is wise for us to trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It is wise for us to have faith when we witness the love of Jesus Christ. And here in Isaiah 11, we see that all these things, the Spirit of the Lord was resting upon our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we see both faith and wisdom, counsel and strength, righteousness and faithfulness in Jesus Christ. He is our model, and the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. That is so magnificent of a statement, it's hard for us to understand as we live our daily lives. Father, we can trust you in your strength. We believe you can do things. Nothing's impossible for you. We really struggle in trusting your timing, your way, how you're going to answer prayers. Lord, we cannot dictate to you how we want you to act. We need to come before you as surrendered and trust you with faith that you are a wise God, that you will lead us and direct us in the right way to go. And that's really what we want. You are good. We want you to lead us, to teach us and direct us. We need to trust your wisdom. And I pray as we study this tonight, as Mike presents this challenge, spiritual challenge, that you will open our ears to hear the truth of the word, and the power of your Spirit will work in us to teach us how faith and wisdom go together. Now we come before you tonight, Lord, and I pray for the church, the people, the gathered together, the called out ones, the brothers and sisters in Christ that come together to make the Independent Baptist Church in Towanda. We thank you so much for the faithfulness of the preachers to teach the word of God, and unashamedly and accurately. And we thank you so much for that. We pray, Father, that we as a body will come together to pray together, to petition you together as one person, seeking your will for this independent body. We We pray for Eddie, Lord, and his family as they get things ready. They come around to get settled and all those things. We just pray for your spirit to fill all of us. And so the transition will run smoothly and all be honored to you to show your grace to those around us and in our community. Lord, we pray for each other. We pray for our prodigal children. We certainly pray for those who are sick and infirmed. We pray for wisdom and decision making as we seek your will in our everyday lives. Maybe it's financial. Maybe we're going to purchase a house. Maybe we're making big decisions. We seek your wisdom. Give us the faith to trust your wisdom in what to do, since we seek your will. We certainly pray for those who are sick, who are down and out and discouraged. Maybe there are those who are weary spiritually and emotionally. We pray, Father, that we can be the ones who deliver a kind word or say an encouraging prayer that will move you to touch their hearts and heal them. We certainly thank you, Lord, for this place we can come together free to worship you in spirit and in truth and encourage each other in the power of fellowship that would glorify you, that people would see and hear and know you as Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for the believers in the Ukraine tonight and the people. Pray for the witness and the testimony that's going on there. We pray for the salvation of souls. We pray that a spiritual impact on all of the different countries that are there helping with the AIDS situation. We certainly pray that people will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We pray for President Zelensky, Lord, that you would give him wisdom and direct him and draw him to yourself. The heart of the king is in your hand and you direct it to where you will. And I pray, Father, that your wisdom will prevail in the heart of both Zelensky and Putin. We pray, Father, that you'll be with our leaders. You'll give them wisdom and instruction that will move them in the right way. We pray for peace. But we pray for more than that. We pray for the peace that passes all understanding, that through these horrible things that around the world will know about the grace and the power of Jesus Christ to change a life, to save a life, and give them the peace that passes all understanding. So I commit these things to you, Lord, and there are many other things, and you know them all. Give us the faith to trust in the wisdom of your answers. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you.
Thanks.
It's a short psalm, but I've broken it into four parts tonight. If we're doing an outline, I simply took verse 1 as point 1, help. Point 2, the hurtful ones, that's verse 2 and 3. Verse 4, the helped ones, and point 4 again on verse 5, help, part 2. So just looking at verse 1, that cry for help, O God, hasten to deliver me, O Lord, hasten to my help. In the Hebrew, that phrase, the way that this is pointed out, literally, it says on verse 1, God to deliver me, Lord to my help, hurry, hurry, help me, hurry. A real emphasis at the end there of focusing first of all on God and Lord, asking what to do and what about it, hurry. Hurry certainly has that sense of now. So the last several days, has there been a time when you have prayed and you asked God for help and you were thinking like, now? I kept track of that a little bit over the last few days. And yesterday morning, I got a call from a mom whose daughter is making some really, really bad decisions that happened yesterday. And as I listened to this mom, I was so thankful. She said, the Lord put you on my heart to call, and I wanted to talk to you about my daughter, which was, it's a privilege to do that. I'm thankful to do that and to have the chance to pray with her. But as she's talking, there's one sense that as a believer who loves God as we do and knows the Bible as we do, we're always learning, but we know the Bible. There's one sense I knew what to answer. But there's also another sense that this is a brand new situation. And God, I need your help now to know what to say to her. Like right now, would you please help me right now. So that's a serious one. And not so serious one here that I prayed God for help right now is that I'm out running with my boys right now. And one of my kids, if you know my kids well enough, one of them is very active and very into sports and loves all things that have to do with running. So we're working toward another 5K. And we did this last year. And it was a point in my life when I said, you know what? He wants to do this. I tell him I love him more than me. I need to prove to him that I love him more than me. So I'm going to do this with him. So the other day we were running and we made it, about two-thirds of our goal. And we stopped. And he could have went more. I was done. And he said, Daddy, this is fun, isn't it? I said, I survived. Wee, this is fun. So, but during that time, you know, you're like, Lord, help now, please. I need help now, not later, but help me now. We live in Bradford County. I saw a deer driving, believe it or not, the other day, and it didn't run in front of me. But how many times in your life when you've been driving around and a deer runs in front of you, you're like, help! That's immediate help. That's what we're talking about here. So often the Psalms are filled with beautiful, longer verses of how great God is and how helpful he is. But this psalm is very much to the point. David is getting right to the point. I need you, God, and I need you now. And with all his circumstances, what we learned about, just what we know about, we can see why David would have prayed that often. David knew in his wisdom and faith, as Lloyd just prayed about, David knew that God would answer his prayer. He had that kind of relationship with God. I think often as a believer, if we start to stray from God, we start to call upon ourselves for help. If I'm going to make this happen, I've got to help myself. And all of a sudden our prayers are away until we get into horrible circumstances that are really far out. And then we go crying for help instead of crying for help right off the bat. Lord, if I'm going to succeed in serving you today, please help me now. If I'm going to do the right thing in this circumstance, please help me now. I need your forever help while I'm here on this earth, but I need your immediate help. Help me to learn to pray without ceasing and pray for help right now. So I'm going to ask Howard to come on up and pray. And as you pray, Howard, would you pray for us that God would teach us to cry to him for help in everything? Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this evening and think of what Mike is telling us and teaching us out of your word, we need to remember that your word is not just a book about God, it's a book from God. And God, I just pray that you would help us to realize that your word is true. We can trust what's in that word. We need to have the faith to live our lives as if we believe what you say is truth. And along with that comes the, when we cry out for help. We're not going to cry out for help if we don't trust you. And when Mike was saying about the urgency, my mind immediately went to Peter when he stepped out of the boat and started to sink. He didn't worry about how formal his prayer was or how it started or ended. He just cried out, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. And Christ reached out and pulled him up. And that's where we need to be. We need to be ready and willing to realize that you're there for us for everything daily, not just the big things, but for all our decisions every day, big or small. And Lord, we realize that you glory in calling people that are unworthy and inadequate, because that's all of us. We're all unworthy. But you make us worthy through Christ alone, and you enable us and make us adequate through the working of your Holy Spirit. And Father, we know that, you know, if you've called us, and we are all called, that if you called us, you've promised that you'd make us adequate. So Father, just give us that faith to trust your Spirit, to trust you, to believe your word, to obey what you've asked us to do. In Jesus' name we pray.
Verse 2 and verse 3 say, "Let those be ashamed and humiliated who seek my life. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be turned back because of their shame who say, 'Aha, aha.'" David's enemies. Just from these verses alone, we read that they wanted him dead. They liked his pain, and they mocked his plight. That's wrong to do to any leader, but especially the anointed king of Israel. It's interesting as we consider and read through the Psalms, sometimes the Psalms that we often refer to as the imprecatory Psalms, Psalms that are prayed to God that are very hard sometimes for us to read and kind of accept or internalize, prayers that are very strong against the enemy. But then thankfully, and I say this with you, under the teaching that we have experienced in our church for the years that we've had, we understand there's a reason that those prayers are put in place. David, as the psalmist here, has written those psalms before against the enemies. Keep in mind, David, not only believer, but David, king of a nation, king of Israel. And very much so, he did not want to be destroyed because he didn't want to see God's nation destroyed and God's anointed one destroyed, God's leader destroyed, and the enemies of the nation were God's enemies who wanted nothing of Israel to be around. They wanted Israel to be wiped out. So that's a righteous, holy, correct prayer. But, you know, in this one, it's a little different here. We don't see David praying exactly for death and destruction. But more specifically, we see a prayer for shame, humiliation, turning back, being dishonored. And that's really not quite the same as David praying for or asking God for the enemy to be destroyed. I guess sometimes for me it's hard to understand these, not from an intellectual sense, but from a sense that I believe I live my life generally without enemies. I don't know if you have any enemies right now. I hope not. Maybe you do. And hopefully it's not, of course, of your own making. But in my life, I have had enemies before. But they have been kind of far and few between. And it's not because of who I am. I think it's because of God's grace. I can recall one time having an enemy when I was working at a factory several years ago. And I have no clue why he was angry at me. But for at least a year plus, he was just mad. He wouldn't look at me, he wouldn't talk to me. He expected me to kind of cover for him when he wanted to take an extra break, that kind of thing. But for some reason, he hated my guts. And that was really hard for me to take. I thought of him a little bit as I was working my way through these verses. But how, as a Christian, do we ask God for help with our enemies? How do we pray for our enemies? Source that I used was a man named James Montgomery Boyce, who did a number of books, and the book that I was referring to from his as I studied this, he wrote this about these verses. He said, "The kindest thing we can pray for people who do wrong is that their plans will fail, for it may be that in their frustration that they will see the folly and true end of evil and be reached for God." So it's a good thing when our enemies, if they are the enemies of the cross, if they are the enemies of Christ, we pray for their failure that they would come to understand they cannot live outside of Christ and expect to be alive, expect to succeed, expect to get to heaven. Of course, when we pray, we've been taught from God's word, we need to love our enemies. We need to pray for those that persecute us. We need to turn the other cheek, and that's important. But I think also if they remain our enemies, we need to pray and say, God, I humbly ask you, please help that to come to a failure so that their soul would be spared. Does that make sense? I'm praying that God would help me to do that. And Mark, if you'd come and pray now, and as you pray, would you ask God for us to teach us how we can best pray for our enemies in our moments of need?
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you here this evening, thanking you and praising you for everything that you've done for us. Your word is every jot, every tittle is words that you have, marks that you have put in the scripture, and we thank you for that, dear Heavenly Father. Help us to look to you for your guidance. Help us to look to you for your teaching us how to deal with enemies, how to pray for them. Help us to honor you in everything we say and do, and help us to not pray for bad things to happen to them, but that they may open their hearts, that they may come to know you as their personal Savior, dear Heavenly Father. We pray for our nation's leaders also. Help them to look to you for their guidance, for their decisions, dear Heavenly Father. We know David suffered and that he was also the king, and that we should respect those in office, but we need to pray for them, dear Heavenly Father. Guide us in that regard, dear Heavenly Father, that we may lift our voices up to you, and that your faith and grace will give us the peace of mind that your will is being done in our country's lives, our lives, and the lives of our enemies also, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for the privilege that we have, that we can bring our requests to you, and also be with Don as he's away this week. Give him a time of relaxation and bring him back refreshed to us. And guide Mike also as he is opening the word to us, and help us to truly understand the words that you are conveying through him to us, dear Heavenly Father, that we may have a more sincere time of prayer and our faith and trust in you, dear Heavenly Father. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks. Verse 4. Verse 1, God help us. Verse 2 and 3, the ones that would harm us or hurt us. But verse 4, talking about the helped ones. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. The Lord be magnified. It's neat how the Lord worked things out today. And specifically, Landon was working on science class. And we were talking about a telescope and sizes of telescopes and what they do and everything. And the word magnified came in. And it literally said that makes something larger. And I said, you know what, Landon, actually we're talking about that very thing tonight. We're talking about magnified, and that's exactly what that means. The word means to make large or enlarge. So in our life, let God be enlarged. Let him be larger. Not that he in and of himself, in who he is, can be bigger on his own. He is complete in everything. But in us, how can God be magnified? How can he be made enlarged? And it's by those that, in spite of the enemy being there and in spite of suffering persecution, they're rejoicing in the Lord. They're glad in him. They love his salvation. They're saying continually, may God be magnified. The hurtful ones would try to unmagnify God by magnifying themselves. That can't work. But for us, we are saying, to God be the glory. And we're making it public. Every time that we go through something in our lives that is really hard, and we, in all sincerity and love for the Lord, say, God is so good. I want him to be big in my life. I'm going to express that in my words and in my actions so that the world can see that I am one who is helped. So I'll ask Greg Kilmer, you want to come up and pray that God would help us to magnify him when he does answer our cries for help.
Father, we come to you in prayer to glorify and honor your name. It is such a privilege that we can do so and that you hear us. And that your Holy Spirit helps you to hear what's in our hearts, even if we don't get the words completely right, Father. We're grateful that we have this community here. I would ask that we continue to grow together in your love, and we could become a first century church. Father, there is so much darkness in the world. It seems like there's things afoot in the world, and we do have an enemy, and he is the prince of the air, and things are, the world has just gone really quite godless, and we all have concerns for that, but we know that we can trust in you. It's such a comfort to know that you, the Father of truth, the Father of peace, that we have you within us, and we can come to you and in prayer, and we can come to you. We know, Father, through your word that you have given us your promises that we can bank on. We know from history that the history of your word that you keep your promises. You are a holy God, a righteous God. There is no other, and there is no other worthy. And the fact that we can call you Father, and that you have promised that you will not let go of us, that you will hold us in your hands, that our salvation is sure. We all look forward, Father, to the day when we can be in heaven with you face to face and can glorify and honor you continually, to be able to work for you with remade bodies that won't have aches and pains, and we'll all be doing joyous work because it will be directly to you, and we will be, there will just not be a moment that's not wonderful. We have a hard time envisioning that in the world that we live in, but we do look forward to that. And Father, as we know that you are in control most of all. You are the great God, the creator God who controls all things ultimately. You have given us your promises how the end of the age happens, and we know someday that will come to pass, as you have said. We are grateful that we can be with you, that we will have victory in you. And it's in all these things we pray.
It's amazing how the Lord does great things in our life when we feel at the lowest. And it's amazing how he is enlarged or made big when we go through some of our struggles And when we've had to cry out the most in life for help, please help me now. How God has been very big in our lives. Many testimonies from that. So may it be that when we are in a position of needing help, we understand this is a chance for God to be big in my life. Again, praise Him. Praise Him. Well, verse 5 ends with another cry for help. The Psalms are so beautiful. Some are long, some are short. Some are praise, some are calling for help. Some are crying out for judgment. All kinds. Some are instructional. Some have some proverbs in them. They're just amazing. And here we are already at the end of Psalm 70. And David, he just gets to the point. I need your help. But I am afflicted and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O God, do not delay. Who knows, again, what was going on in David's life? Could he see the enemy in the distance? Was it a time where Saul's army was chasing him around and he could see him a mountain over? Please help me, Lord. Was it a time when his son Absalom was chasing him away from Jerusalem? Please help me, Lord. Could have been another circumstance. We don't know, but he called upon God's immediate help once again to start and to end this psalm, bringing a full circle here. It's just a please hurry, Lord. Please hurry up and help me. In Howard's prayer, he mentioned Peter sinking down. I thought about Nehemiah in Nehemiah chapter 2. He stands before the king, and he's feeling downtrodden for good reason, thinking about the fact that Jerusalem was still in shambles and needed to be built up and needed a wall. And the king asked Nehemiah, what's going on? Why are you feeling the way you are? And he responds to him in kind. And then the king says, what is it you want, Nehemiah? And there's just a little phrase there that says, Nehemiah prayed. And Nehemiah prayed there. Do you think Nehemiah said to the king at that point, let me leave you for about a half an hour and pray about this? No, I think it was one of those, help, Lord, I'm going to talk to the king, and if he doesn't like what I'm going to say, I don't know how this is going to go down. Please help, and please help me now, Lord. And wonderfully, he did. Have you had to call 911 in your life? I have a few times. And a couple times they were serious. The accident Lloyd and Don and I were in, I was the one to call 911. You know, when I did, what I was not expecting to get when you call 911 is, I'd like to help you, but I'm going to be on break for a few minutes. I'll get back to you. Give me your number. Or, I don't think this one is too serious. I'll get back to you later. No, when you call 911, you expect and usually receive immediate help. And that, in our case, after I called, I think that the police were there approximately 5 minutes later. In the middle of Sullivan County, that's pretty good. We weren't too far away from the police station, thankfully, but still, that's really good. God is a 911 kind of God. When we call on Him for help, He immediately answers. Sometimes the answers are different, but He immediately answers. He's always on call. He's never, I'll get back to you later. He hears us. I just want to thank Him for that. And Scott, if you don't mind coming up and praying tonight, and as you pray, would you please thank God for His immediate help and pray that we'd be grateful when God answers our cries and help, both in life and in death. Sometimes that last prayer may be that cry for deliverance, and God says, child, I'm answering your prayer. It's time to come home. It's time to come home. It's time to be in heaven with me. This is how I'm going to answer the prayer this time. And that final cry for help, that immediate help, it's time to come home. Be with me. So would you, on our behalf, thank God for that, Scott? Thanks.
Lord, thank you that, as Mike said this evening, that you are a God of help, that we can call on you anytime, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the times that I have asked for help, and you've given it in different ways. Again, Lord, like Mike said, you know, sometimes maybe it's to call one of us home, and that's your answer to the help that we've asked. Lord, and for those of us who are saved, Lord, obviously that's a huge blessing, and to know that loved ones are with you. Lord, I thank you for just the other times when we ask for help and you have an answer immediately. Again, Lord, as Mike said, you're a 911 kind of God, Lord, and I thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that we would remember that as we go forward, as we consider your word, and Lord, as we should be reading and contemplating your word always, and we should be in constant communication and conversation with you, Lord. And Lord, with all that, just that we can ask for help, Lord, that you're right there, that you can be with us, and you are with us. Lord, it's just such a huge encouragement, Lord, to be reminded of that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks. Thanks to the men that prayed. And if you're online with us tonight, thank you for being here with us. And just want to remind you, if you're online, God uses his church to help. And sometimes it's the church that is that immediate answer for help. So if there's anything that we can do for you online with us, please let us know, and we'll be happy to pray with you and help you. Thank you for being with us.